Hello, Eagles fans, and welcome to another edition of the Eagles Insider Podcast. I'm Chris McPherson, joined by Fran Duffy and Bo Wolf. And gentlemen, I'm just elated after coming off the high of the Monday night win. Certainly in disbelief watching how the second half unfolded. Eagles trailing 20-6, not able to get anything going on offense, and all of a sudden Darren Sproles takes over, dominating on the offensive side of football, and the defense. Fletcher Cox coming up with a big turnover, Malcolm Jenkins with a big interception, the big three and out late in the game, and Cody Parkey nailing not once but twice the game-winning field goal to send the Eagles home victorious 30-27. Guys, your instant reaction to what you guys saw.
Well, you were the only one of us, of the three of us, that was at the stadium when you saw that the timeout happened. How worried were you?
What's interesting about that is, so he makes the kick. You see the players running off the field. I'm up in the press box, and the press box is a mile above the stadium, and you never saw the referee signal anything. So you're just kind of looking, and you like had this feeling like something happened. Was it a penalty? Was it a timeout? So you knew something, and it was like, all right, they're going to have to re-kick it. I was not worried.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. I just had that feeling. I was like, Cody Parkey. This is the Hollywood storyline. As someone who's going to be in the locker room covering the game as a writer, you're like, you can't draw it up better than this. The guy gets traded from Indianapolis to Philly.
Props to David Flewellen.
Well, it could have been longer.
Yes. Could have been longer, yes. The NFL record or something like that. But also gets to go out there against his former team with the game on the line. And the kid has been just, I mean, obviously he had the one miss, but he's just been ice cold, just so strong since the time he got here. I mean, it was crazy to watch the whole thing unfold. But the Eagles come out the win, and I didn't have any doubt personally that he was going to make that second kick.
Yeah, you know, Bo and I were here in the studio, and obviously we're getting ready to start the postgame show. And at that point in the game, win or lose, and the same thing happened really the playoff game, the loss in New Orleans, where we have to sit here and watch in silence because whether the kick is made or the kick is missed, we got to start the show. So
It would have gone to overtime.
Well, it would have gone to overtime on this one, but just in general, we're sitting there at the end of the game, we're watching in silence because if the kick goes in, all right, we got to go. Let's get going. It's time to get to work. But obviously, a huge play. Everyone's pretty happy for Cody.
First of all, let me say it's a pleasure once again to be here on the Eagles Beakley podcast. Good to be back with you guys.
It affects taking you this long to get in the show.
We got to keep people guessing, obviously a huge win for the Eagles, staying at 2-0 atop the division. I think I was most impressed that the thing that doesn't get enough play is, as you mentioned, that three and out to get the Eagles the ball back after they tied it up. You wonder maybe why didn't the Colts let Andrew Luck make a play other than that third and five, but the defense stepping up without Michael Kendricks making that big stop, I thought was very huge.
It was so amazing to see, and I've had a chance to talk to him since. Emmanuel Acho didn't play. He wasn't with the team the first week of the season because they had Najee Good gets hurt. Acho gets promoted from the practice squad. Not playing on defense all game because of special teams. Casey Matthews was the player who goes in. His first snap of the season is the first down on that last drive. It's like, how do you just go in there as someone who he has some playing experience? I think he was in six games for the Eagles last season. Right. He was on IR his rookie year with Cleveland. The guy doesn't have a ton of experience. Not a veteran stepping in there. And you're asking this guy, all right, you're going against Andrew Luck on the road in their house, tie game, a field goal wins it. And he stepped up in a big way. It's just amazing to see how he stepped up. And it's just that next man up mentality just goes through the entire team.
Yeah, no question about it. It was great. That defense, I thought, played really, really well. And you mentioned the tough environment. Obviously, going up against Andrew Luck and that offense, he makes that team go. And just, with his record, they showed the record on the broadcast. What was his record?
And come from 15 behind? 15-2 or
something.
It's
absurd.
Like
in one score games.
In one score game.
In one score games, he's 15-2. I mean, it just, going out in the road there and, playing as well as they did, I thought they played really, really well. You take some of those penalties away, those silly kind of procedure penalties on third down. Obviously some missed tackles at the point of attack in the first half. They did some things from a schematic standpoint that they really hadn't shown, at least to that extent. So really the ability to bounce back and play the way they did, especially in the second half, it's remarkable.
What are some of those things that you noticed schematically? Is that the unbalanced line?
The unbalanced
tackle
line.
Over?
Yep. So they did that a play or two here and there. They did it in the first game in week one. They did it a little bit last year. But, to the point where basically what you're doing is you're taking a tackle, you're moving them over to one side, so you have your short one offensive lineman the other way, and they would run counter to that side. So you're just creating some different angles and really allowing your offense to reset the line of scrimmage so that the defensive front is going to slide over to account for the move tackle. So now the angles are going to change, the gaps are going to change, and they were able to get some big plays on it. We adjusted early on, or you know, at halftime, and in the second half, it was a much better result.
Was that discussed in the Eye in the Sky podcast?
We didn't touch on that as much. We touched on it a little bit. We touched on it a bit also with Chip Kelly for the Kelly Strader this weekend. So, okay. So we'll hit on that a little bit.
I don't think the secondary gets enough praise for the performance. The big storyline going into this game was Andrew Luck at quarterback, 10 career 300-yard passing games, the bevy of receivers from Reggie Wayne to T.Y. Hilton, Akeem Nicks, you know, Dwayne Allen and Kobe Flair at tight end, all these great pass weapons. And he doesn't even get 200 yards. It was the third lowest yardage total of his career. I mean, really no big plays in the pass game whatsoever. It seems like outside of that first quarter against Jacksonville, the secondary has been locked down.
When I talked with Greg Cosell before we filmed our podcast on Tuesday, he had just got done watching the tape. We're talking on the phone. And before I even got the sentence out, you know, who impressed you? He said Malcolm Jenkins, and that was a guy who stood out to him in all phases. And he said, you know, it's clear to see why they bought this guy in over other options.
I was very impressed with the secondary. Like what I saw, I would not have minded if Bradley Fletcher could have caught that ball in the end zone.
That would have been pretty good at that time.
Well, it's a good thing Malcolm got his hands on it when he did in the game. On the offensive side, what can you say about Darren Sproles? I mean, this is a guy who. Look, I thought when he was acquired in the trade with New Orleans, he would be a complimentary piece. You know, LeSean McCoy would still be the foundation of the offense. Everything would go through him. And I think if you ask everyone on the team, they would say to this point, Sproles is the MVP. McCoy said in his press conference after the game, we'd be in trouble if we didn't have Darren Sproles right now.
You know, obviously you look at a guy like Darren Sproles and what he brings, especially when you're going up against a team like Indianapolis that's going to play you in man coverage. You better have the guys that can man up. So either you're going to come out and you're going to play with multiple defensive backs, if you're going to play nickel or dime and try and make sure you get a corner or a safety on Sproles. If not, you're going to have a linebacker on him in space, and teams have to account for that. And guess what? If you start coming out with dime and start coming out with nickel, which we might see, you know, against Washington, we're going to run the ball. So it's going to be really interesting to see how defenses start to account for Sproles' presence in this offense.
Well, that's a good segue, Fran, because the sick, sick mind that you are, you went back and charted all the plays from the Eagles-Washington games last year.
Yes.
And they were in base defense four plays. Is that what it was?
Two snaps over two games.
Both occurred
in the first game. In the second game we played them, it was week 11, I believe, they did not play a single snap of base defense. It was a nickel and dime the entire game. So, obviously, that was Jim Haslett's plan of attack in terms of just making sure that you get those kind of space players on the field, make sure you've got, you know, multiple defensive backs out there to account for the Eagles' speed and the ability to stretch you out horizontally and cover the whole field. And, you know, I would be interested to see what is his game plan going to be this Sunday.
And LeSean McCoy had big rushing games in both those games last year.
Yes, he did. I'll be interested to see, because I was talking to Nolan Carroll a second in the locker room about, you know, how teams, you know, change the way you play from one game to the next. And he said that, you know, what you see on TV, when you see something successful, you'll see it continuous through the next couple of weeks. So it'll be interesting to see, does that mindset really, you know, change? I know we're talking about different sides of the ball here, but, you know, do coaches kind of say, all right, let's see what worked. Let's see what, you know, Indianapolis was able to do to stop the ground game and then try to carry that over for the next game, even though maybe it might get exposed the next week. Now, Fran, you've had a chance to watch Washington on tape. What do you see of them defensively different than maybe last year?
You know, they haven't changed much. I mean, obviously Jim Haslett's still there, so they're going to be a pressure-based team. They like to overload sides of the line of scrimmage, and they're really, really good at saying, like, okay, we're going to bring four guys from this side, and we're going to show that we're going to bring four. Sometimes those four are going to come, and you have to account for that. Other times two of those four are going to drop, and it's going to be a four coming from this side that you didn't see before the snap. So they're really good at mixing and matching. I would imagine that they're going to try and bring pressure, which they did both games last year. They play a good amount of man and zone. So, you know, it's a very multiple defense that we're going to see. And obviously they've got multiple pass rushers that they kind of rotate in there. Yeah, 10 sacks,
10 sacks
last week, which is, you know, absurd. Brian Arakpo looks healthy. He looks, you know, and they're using him in coverage. They're using him as a blitzer, obviously. Really just a dynamic player. And Kerrigan obviously had four sacks on Sunday. So Cam Bradfield's without a job at this point because of that game.
You got it.
During his
but they got Tavares King now, so they're okay.
There you go.
During his conference call, head coach Jay Gruden actually said that they're actually unleashing the linebackers this year. They're not just using them as contained players. They're trying to be more aggressive with Arakpo and Kerrigan to let them get after the quarterback because of their natural athleticism, instead of just saying, all right, you know, typically 3-4 outside linebackers, let's contain. No, we'll be aggressive. So
he also dropped an S-bomb.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
The big thing, I think, with that defense, and it was the case last year, is can those guys at the second level, can the safeties, can the corners make tackles one-on-one in space? And that was one of the big issues. They cut Bakari Rambo this week, who's in his second year, and his big issue.
First, it's amazing.
That was the that was their first blood transaction of the year.
Yeah. And that's that was, you know, obviously a guy who has had issues with taking angles and, you know, being a player in the run game. And you know what? He had issues in the pass game as well. Got benched in the second half for Trenton Robinson, who was on the Eagles practice squad last year.
Stud.
A guy who, you know, coming out of Michigan State can play in coverage. And I think he might see a starting nod if Brandon Merriweather isn't ready this week.
That's crazy.
Well, it's crazy that Rambo started the first two games.
Yeah, and he's gone.
On the street.
Yep.
And he's gone. Just like that. So when you look to how the Eagles offense matched up, I know the big question is going to be, what can the offense do to get going early on in games? And you have Nick Foles, who has the best passer rating, over 152, I believe it is, in the fourth quarter. He's overall, you know, 86, which is still above average, not tremendous, not what he had last season. But what can he do to get going earlier in games? Even though, I guess at the same time, you could say the Eagles still lead the league in yards and points at this point.
I mean, is it as easy as saying hit the guys who are open?
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are plays to be made in the first half of these games that Nick Foles, I think, would tell you himself he's not making. And it's crazy that, you know, we're talking about a guy who has over 300 yards passing in the first two games. As you said, the Eagles lead the league in points and yards. They're 2-0. And yet the ceiling still seems like it's so much higher for this team because Nick Foles has not been as good as he was last season. He's missing plays that are there. You know, LeSean McCoy has been good, but he doesn't have over 80 yards rushing in a game yet this season. So I think that speaks to what we hope is the ceiling for this Eagles team. And I think Nick would tell you that he needs to be a little bit more steady in the pocket, maybe step up a couple times and keep his eyes downfield and hit those plays that are called. You know, like one – I mean, every quarterback's going to miss throws.
No question.
But there's frustrating ones like the ones they set up all game against the Colts with that sweep screen – with Jeremy Maclin going out to block. They set it up all game. Maclin goes, fakes blocking, goes. He's streaking up the sideline, and Nick misses him. That's a play where he knows what's called, he sees what's there, and he just misses the throw. I think those are the kinds of plays where, as the season goes on, you're not going to see that again. He's gonna make those plays.
Yeah, I mean, we saw him make those plays last year, and that's the thing, is that I think it's only a matter of time before this offense, before Nick gets back on track. I say back on track. That's the funny thing. The offense is still producing at an extremely high level, especially, you know, obviously compared with the rest of the NFL. You have to be confident that this team's going to, you know, take that next step and get even better. I think the ceiling still has yet to be reached.
Riley Cooper was asked in the locker room this week about his quote-unquote slow start, you know, lack of production. And he said, just go back to last year. Look at the numbers, not just for myself, but overall. And it's very similar to what we're going through right now. It's going to click. It's just a matter of time. You know, it's all going to come together. And when it does, it's going to be scary.
He's been open a few times. And so, you know, people have a little question separation. And does he miss DeSean Jackson? And, you know, is he not a favor in the offense? He's been there a couple times. And obviously that's going to happen. And it happened early last year. It happened down the stretch last year as well, where, you know, sometimes you're going to get a string of games where you're going to get a lot of targets. And sometimes it's not going to be the case.
One thing I think goes a little underrated was the performance of the offensive line. Now, was it as dominant as it is when you have your full complement of players? No. But Andrew Gardner making his first career start. Kelly.
The Eagles and center, Eagles Beakley bump.
Yes, of course. Got to give him the praise. The constant Gardner.
The constant Gardner.
You have Dennis Kelly making his,
I like that,
his first start in Chip Kelly's offense, you know, after missing all of last season with the back injury. For being on the road, loud environment, was very surprised. Not very surprised, but it was very interesting to see how they were able to keep that line together and intact.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really have to change a lot of the things that we see this offense do on a week-to-week basis. I thought Andrew Gardner did a really good job, you know, especially as the game wore on. He was, you know, there were some plays early on, a couple I can think of where he overset and allowed an inside move and gave up a hit on the quarterback, but obviously no sacks allowed. They still had a really productive day offensively, so you got to be happy, you know, on the road in a dome with the performance of the O-line.
So, of course, DeSean Jackson makes his return.
Ooh.
Makes his return to Lincoln Financial Field. It's a big story all week. You know, DeSean has a shoulder injury. He's not saying definitively that he's playing, but it pretty much all signs point that he will suit up for Washington. I guess the question is going to be for the Eagles, what can they bank on from, you know, his playing days here in Philadelphia in terms of scheming against him? Is it look at what other teams did last season to him that worked? Is it a case of, you know, you just know the guy from being here day in and day out? What is the key going to be to try and slowing him down?
Well, I mean, that'll be, I guess, you know, all these defensive backs, all these guys on the defensive side of the ball that got to see him every single day. Obviously, throughout the season last year, saw what other teams were able to do to him. It'll be up to them. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'm very excited to see, you know, how this defense comes out and performs.
But it's not like that Deshaun's the only guy.
Right. No
I think question. that's what gets lost in this is you look at Alfred Morris, who's second in the league in rushing, if I'm correct.
I believe that's right.
You look at Pierre Garçon, who was among the league leaders, if not the, I think he was the league leader in receptions last season. Yeah, there's a bevy of weapons for Kirk Cousins to use at his disposal, and he has no problem spreading the ball around. It's not like he's going to target one guy.
Right, and if you know, obviously they have Jordan Reed as well as a really talented tight end. He's been injured. If he doesn't come in, Niles Paul has played really, really well. You know, another a former receiver who's got some great movement skills, has made some plays down the field for them. So, no, and Andre Roberts they brought in free agency as well, who's a guy who has hurt the Eagles in the past. This offense has some weapons.
And the offensive line, Trent Williams, a left tackle, very, very good. I mean, it's just overall, it's a very good offense. And, you know, there's a debate over RG3 and Kirk Cousins. It's like, if Kirk Cousins can just get the ball to his playmakers, you know, they're going to be tough to stop.
And that's what he's going to do, a guy like that. He's going to come in and execute the offense. He's been playing in offenses like this since he was in, you know, in elementary school, in middle school. So a guy with that kind of pedigree, with that experience, he's going to come in, and I think that's the kind of player he is. He's going to get the ball into his receiver's hands, let them make plays, rely on the running game, get out on the perimeter and make some throws in the bootleg naked game and do pretty well there. So
last week, Fran, we ranked the quarterbacks. The NFC East is loaded with those left tackles. How do you rank Peters, Tyron Smith, and Trent Williams?
Man, that's those three guys. I mean, I wouldn't hesitate to say that those three guys are the three best.
You think so?
Yeah, I really do think so. So, you know, however you slice it, I mean, I would say that Tyron Smith and Jason Peters are probably the top two. Obviously, the other two guys have the advantage in terms of age.
Right.
But all three guys are just A-plus guys in terms of what you want from that position. So I wouldn't hesitate to say those are the best three in the league.
Poor Giants.
Yeah.
Yep. Is there any one player who's like an X factor that you're going to have an eye on this weekend?
You know, Arakpo hasn't had the sack numbers that Kerrigan's had, but I mentioned earlier that he looks healthy. The way he's moving, I mean, they have him running with tight ends and receivers down the seam, playing in space, obviously getting after the passer. They do a lot of movement up front in terms of their pressure packages. So he's a dynamic guy. Obviously, he'll be matched up mostly against Peters, so that'll be one of the big matchups to watch, I think, in terms of good-on-good. Kerrigan has been
he's
really
on IR. Now is he good?
Oh, thank you. That's very good.
The look very on your face.
That's what I was like. Yeah. Now I was making sure I didn't hear, you know, I didn't miss news if Arakpo got hurt. But no, you know, Arakpo, I think, is going to be a factor for them. Offensively, Niles Paul's looked really good. You know, I know Jordan Reed. I really like Jordan Reed of Florida. He had a good year last year before his concussion issues, and he's been hurt early on. But Niles Paul has looked really, really good. So I think he's going to be their, you know, maybe their go-to guy in the passing game right now.
Do they still have Rex Grossman?
No.
Who's their third quarterback? Who's their
Colt McCoy?
Yeah.
Oh,
even
interesting.
Better.
Interesting. Yeah. I was going to say Rex was the sex
factor.
That was
your actual. Yeah,
that's good. Yeah. No, he's the third. He's the third stringer in Cleveland right now.
It's too bad.
Yeah. Anyone in your eyes, Bo? Either side. I'm not even talking just about Washington.
Fran's got it all scouted. There's nothing I can bring to the table that Fran hasn't already said.
All right, fellas. Well, I think that's going to do here. Is this?
Are we gonna bring in Trent Cole? Oh no, we're not. He stood us up again. That's two times.
Well, it's got to be you.
It's got to be
podcasts.
Me. We should play one of the pick sixes though without him.
Ooh.
I like that.
That's we could do.
I like that. All right, give us pick six.
All right, here we go.
BT, pick a number.
BT picks a number.
Let's go with.
Don't hear him on the mic. That's fine.
All right. Well, you can just tell us. We'll
you
hear
can
you.
Just yell. Just
five.
Five.
Five is the number.
Five. What was your last text message?
Oh no. I don't have to look. I can tell you. So right now I'm supposed to be over with our editor Dana Heberling, who's editing Eagles game plan at the moment. Dana is waiting for me to get over there, and he's been waiting for well over 45 minutes. So That if I haven't gotten a text from him since my last one, which I haven't, it'll be I'm good to go when you are come over, and that was at 2 o'clock. So I'm running an hour late.
My last text message is from my sister Eve, and it says, "That is so weird."
There are so many things that could be a response.
Do you want to know what it stems from? We have a little family text chain, and my other sister Elizabeth texted us a picture. She is a freshman in college. Texted us a picture of her roommate has this sock hanger.
Oh, jeez.
That is really,
so
really weird.
She sent us a picture of it, and Eve responded, "That is so weird."
Eve is right. That is really, really weird.
There you go.
The last text message that I have is from you, Fran.
Haha. Uh-huh.
Telling me.
Very nice.
Trent Cole is on his way.
Trent Cole is on his way. BT is getting him now.
Well, there you go.
So
you got a peek behind the curtain as to production.
Trent Cole continues to be enemy number one at PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
So, BT, you got another number for us?
Ten.
Number 10. Favorite athlete growing up?
We already did this one.
No, we've played this one.
I
got to give us
mine was Brandon Bear's father.
That's right.
Seven? 12.
12.
Oh, this is actually good. I was, you know how I did the rivals thing last week for the Wolf's Den?
I went back, got
the rivals things. Yeah. I found Brandon Bear's rivals thing, and there was no picture, so I didn't use it. But there was an interview with him because you know nobody had ever heard of him when he committed to Oregon.
And was it done on like papyrus, like the old ancient Egypt paper?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They asked him who his favorite athlete growing up was, and he gave the same answer.
No!
He said his father. He's like, "I don't really watch football. I would have to say my father."
That's
at least
great.
He's consistent.
He's consistent.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like
you know it's not fake. Though. You're getting the real thing.
That's right.
That's great.
Number 12, the worst song played at practice.
Oh.
I forget the...
Yeah, it's tough. It's been... I can't think of
the one last year. Oh, man. There was one that I hated so much.
There's some that, not so much you hate,
the
but
one,
you
there's the one song, and I don't know the name of it.
The dupe song? I like that.
It's not the worst song. There's the ones that get stuck in your head more than anything else.
What's that song, Safe and Sound?
Safe and Sound.
That I think of 2013 training camp whenever I hear that song because I just remember
that
hearing
is true.
It every day.
That is true, yes.
Alex Smith knows what the song is. I'm going to see if he answers his phone.
Okay.
The one that I really hated last year.
Oh, wow. I can actually hear him.
Yeah, why not?
Nick might know the name to the...
the dupe song.
That's right.
The Union, yes.
The real name?
The real name, yes.
Alex, here we go. I got Alex Smith on the line.
Yes.
Alex, you're on the Eagles Insider podcast. We have an important question for you. Are you listening?
I am.
What was the name of the song from practice last year that I hated so much?
I believe it was called Chasing the Sun.
Yes!
Oh,
yes!
The Wanted?
Oh, I hated that song. Thank you. Good contribution to the Eagles Beakley podcast.
Yeah. There you go.
I wanted Chasing the Sun, so there you go.
Thank you very much. Do you have a least favorite?
Brilliant! No, I love them all.
There we go. Alex Smith, everybody.
Company man. Yeah,
I like that song a lot, actually. It's on my workout
Chasing
playlist.
Chasing the Sun?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I hate that song.
We got the dupe song.
The official name of it?
I don't know.
Nothing. No. Nick's got nothing.
He only worked for the Union, I mean.
It's an Eastern European. It was just remixed.
All right.
So they stole it from someone, is what you're saying.
He was a Polish national team coach, and he suggested it because he heard it in Europe somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
There we go.
Look at what you learned on the Eagles Insider podcast.
Let's Big Nick coming in on the show. A lot of guests today making up for Trent Cole.
Let's go 22.
All right, last one.
22, yeah, last one here.
Dana, my editor's going to kill me.
Yeah, let's see.
If Dana was going to kill
I think Brian's just going to keep asking questions to keep me from getting over to Dana.
The most played artist.
Do you know that Dana's name backwards is a Nad?
It's true. What do you got, 22?
Most played artist on your iPod.
Ooh. Man.
I don't have any new songs. So
no, me neither.
The answer for me is definitely Biggie.
Oh, that might be actually might be up there for me too. I know.
There's a lot of debate going around because John Stark said the other day that he was asked whether he was the guy in I Got a Story to Tell where Biggie messes around with someone who's with a member of the Knicks, and he said no, but he knows who it is, but he wouldn't say. So people think it's Hubert Davis, which would be crushing to me because I used to love Hubert Davis. But
what's your favorite Biggie song?
Tough for him. I got a story to tell is up there, but for me, it's One More Chance.
Fran?
My favorite Biggie song? Juicy. Juicy.
C-Mac?
Don't really have one. Let's see. Victory. Puff Daddy.
DJ Khaled might be the most played on my iPod.
Interesting.
There we go for BT. BT is BT is really, really surprised right now.
Eminem.
There you go. Would be the most played on. That's probably up there for me, too.
So all rap. No one does any pop.
I've got all kinds.
I have classical on mine.
Everywhere. I am all over the place. I've got NFL Films, Hard Knocks soundtrack
do
on
you really?
Here. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
I mean, should we be surprised? No, but
I actually read that you can be if you play classical music or if you play like that kind of inspirational like soundtrack stuff while you work, you're like 10 times more productive.
Yes, 100% true.
Yeah,
100% true.
There you go.
How come you never get anything done, BT?
Because I'm never listening to classical.
That's well good. Done. I like that.
That was
well
good.
Done. Well done. So. All right, fellas.
All right.
I think they'll do it for the Eagles and Sarah.
Yeah, another Eagles Beakley in the books.
Yes, indeed. So, to Nick and Brian behind the scenes, Bo and Fran, I'm C-Mac. We will talk to you guys next week after, hopefully, another Eagles win.